So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control, and if you can take it, all about your stand, and if you can play it, it's all about pain, and who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me, I am control, no way you can shake me, I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me, I am the pain, and I know you can't take me, look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a craven bitch from a smoking gun, I am the game, and I make the rules, so move on out, you can die like a fool, try to figure out what my mood's gonna be, come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay, cause I am the game and I want to play.
Brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, your one news source for all the latest and greatest that's happening. And when I say latest and the greatest, let me tell you, we're not talking about the fluff pieces. No, we don't want to give you the weather reports at LouisvillePolitics.com. If you're standing out in the rain, you know it's raining. We don't have to tell you. No, we're going to stick to the good stuff. We've got Heather French Henry, for example, decided she's not going to run in the Democratic primary for Senate. Mayor Greg Fisher is now on the hot seat. He has been named in a whistleblower complaint involving a couple of local businesses. So there's all kinds of things we talk about, but we're not one to give you a weather report, tell you what the latest baseball box score is. Check out LouisvillePolitics.com for all the real news. Make sure you join our RSS feed, and don't forget to click on our sponsors, too, who help us keep this show alive. In the meantime, Mr. Ed Martin will be just a little bit late. He has apparently a real busy day today, so he's running a tad behind. He will be joining us in just a few moments. And, you know, that's okay. We're kind of getting used to that with Ed. It's all good. I want to get into a couple of local stories real quick, but there's a lot of national stuff I want to get into tonight as well. So hang on to your hats, folks. It's going to be a busy ride. As I mentioned, former Miss America Heather French Henry has announced that she will not seek the Democratic nomination to challenge Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell in 2014. Here's the interesting part. Henry's statement said that she notified Governor Steve Beshear last week prior to the announcement by Allison Lundgren Grimes saying that she was going to run. And presumably her and her joke of a husband, Steve Henry, or grandpa, I guess he is. I don't know what he is to her anymore. But, you know, apparently they will probably be backing Allison Lundgren Grimes, which is no surprise to anybody. It's all part of the insider machine. But I find it interesting that Allison waited until she knew that Heather French Henry was not going to run before she announced. But, you know, they just don't tell you that. Heather French Henry was the number one pick for the Democratic circles because of name recognition once everybody found out what a nut job Ashley Judd really was. And what makes it really fascinating is Heather French Henry and Steve Henry, former Lieutenant Governor Steve Henry, are about as corrupt as it gets. They're about as corrupt as it gets, folks. So the fact that the Democratic Party was trying to rely on a former Miss America, well, trying to rely on an A-list actress named Ashley Judd, who's nuttier than a fruitcake, and then trying to rely on a bunch of corrupt individuals that happens to be a former Miss America and a former Lieutenant Governor husband, that ought to tell you a lot about the state of the Democratic Party. That's the best they've got to choose from. Now they throw Allison Lundigan Grimes under the bus because she's an insider through her daddy, Jerry Lundigan Grimes. And now they're going to throw her under the bus at a ripe old age of 34 to get her butt handed to her by Mitch McConnell. I've got no problem with that. Say what you want about Mitch McConnell. Say anything you want. But I will take him over anybody that the Democratic Party has thrown up to date. And whether that's a good thing or bad thing, I guess we'll find out in the future. But this is such a joke. It really is. Heather French Henry goes on record. You know, she doesn't want to talk about the fact that Steve Henry had to pay back thousands of dollars in illegal claims against the government Medicare program. No, we can't talk about that. We can't talk about Steve Henry, you know, and all the illegal things he did as a lieutenant governor and the money he cost us, the campaign violations and everything else that he was found guilty of. No, we can't talk about that. You know, we can't talk about Steve Henry paying for his wedding with taxpayer dollars. No, we can't talk about that either. And we can't talk about Heather French Henry, who has a very questionable record as on her own merits and who has a seriously questionable reputation based on her killing a biker with her SUV just a few years ago. You know, that's one thing that she has never been able to answer. She said she was going down the road, and the sun got in her eyes, and she hit the biker because the biker ran out in front of her. This was Grinstead Road area, folks. Bikers don't drive like that there. They don't ride like that. And besides that, you know, instead of showing all this great remorse, the next thing she does is go on Oprah Winfrey and talk about how hard it is for her having to live with what happened, even though it wasn't her fault. It's a joke. It's going to continue to be a joke. So she's out. Now we're going to put the other joke in, Allison Lundigan Grimes. Like I told you before, we'll get more out there in the very, very near future on that situation. You know, we've got a lot going on, too, as well. We've got another story coming out, a gentleman by the name of Louis Pozzolo. This is a guy who's been on my radar for a little bit, and I'll be quite honest with you. I've been asked to and contacted to get him on air. And we've had so many things going on, I just have not been able to do that yet. And we will try to do that in the very near future, Mr. Pozzolo, because I know you listen to the show. But anyway, Louis Pozzolo has been in the U.S. 9 years. He came here to escape economic oppression. You know, he came here seeking political asylum. He came here wanting to do good. He came here wanting to get a better life. So he came here with $300 in his pocket. He is now a U.S. citizen 9 years later. He has got two groups that he has founded that are all in favor of immigration reform. This guy sounds like he would be the epichild for all the immigration laws and everything else we're talking about, except that's not quite the case. Because what Louis Pozzolo does is he represents a heck of a lot of people in his two groups, and he talks to people all over the place about legal immigration. Louis Pozzolo does not want this new immigration plan that Washington has put together. He accuses Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell of selling out. He accuses the entire Congress of selling out because all they typically want to do is give a free ride to those who are here illegally. Pozzolo does not buy that. He seems to think that we need a tough citizenship rules. He wants to tell us that, you know, he's getting a lot of people on his side among the Tea Party and conservative groups. But it's interesting to me when you talk about a guy like Louis Pozzolo, who's been here 9 years, has already made himself a U.S. citizen, stands up for the American way of life, believes everybody should have to follow the rules on immigration. We can no longer sit here and say that this is the Republicans trying to screw anybody, because Louis Pozzolo is not alone. If you do a Google search on immigrants who believe in legal immigration, and they don't believe in this mockery of a bill that Congress is trying to pass through and everything else to us, then you have to ask yourself, why is the mainstream media still telling us it's all the Republicans or just old school Republicans? These are people who came to the United States legally, folks. These are people who came here seeking a better way of life, who are living the American dream, and dare I say it, are probably more patriotic by being able to take stances like this than most of the damn people that you see living here today. That is something we should be looking at. That is something we should be celebrating. That is something we should be talking about. But we're not, and I have no idea why. We need to get into a couple of things here as well. Another story going on right now is the whole George Zimmerman trial. For anybody who is actually keeping up with this trial at all, it is very, very clear. It doesn't take a brain doctor or a scientist or anybody else to understand that the state has failed. The state has failed in Florida to prove that George Zimmerman committed second-degree murder. They have failed by their own standards. They have failed. It is very, very interesting that they wanted to continue to go down this road of prosecution when they knew they didn't have the evidence. I mean, the prosecution's case has always been basically that George Zimmerman's injuries to his head didn't really matter. They were insignificant. So, you know, that Trayvon Martin bashing his head on the concrete or the ground to cause his scratches don't really matter because he didn't get knocked unconscious, I guess. And the second thing was that at one time, a couple of years ago, Zimmerman took a class at a Florida college, and that Florida college class did discuss the stand your ground law. Now, the problem here is to win conviction on a second-degree murder charge, if you're a prosecutor, you have to show that this death was caused by a criminal act. In other words, you have to demonstrate that this was a guy who had a depraved mind and he didn't give one care, one iota about human life. He had no regard for it. Clearly, the evidence doesn't show anything of that sort. The only credible witness that they have put on the stand, testified to seeing Zimmerman on the ground with Trayvon Martin on top of him, and Zimmerman was the one screaming for help. That's the only credible eyewitness they've got who saw this. So clearly, this has been an orchestrated plan all along to try to appease and keep the racial divide alive. That's all I can come up with. They want to try to appease the black population, and they want to keep the racial divide alive. I mean, they even went so far as to create a new race for George Zimmerman, if you remember. He wasn't Hispanic or white. No, George Zimmerman is a white Hispanic. That was a new breed of a race designation that I hadn't heard of until mainstream decided to play it. You see what I'm saying? There are all kinds of things here. So when we look at the Zimmerman trial, and we look at the farce that has been of the prosecution's case, because they have nothing to nail this guy for, we have to ask ourselves how we got here. Because in the very beginning of this, there were no charges that were going to be pressed against George Zimmerman until race baiter and thug racist Al Sharpton and his cohort, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, whose old son is getting ready to go to jail for doing the same thing his daddy's done his whole life, but nobody would hold him accountable. They showed up in Florida, decided to go to the streets and create a ruckus and a riot where there was none. The evidence clearly shows Zimmerman wasn't guilty. And then they went so far as to bring such a public pressure to this whole situation that Florida State's Attorney, Angela Corey, decided that she was going to falsify records and make sure that Zimmerman was brought up on charges. Now, this is the background we all pretty much know, but let's look at this. Recently, last Tuesday, as a matter of fact, Florida State Attorney Angela Corey was actually indicted by a citizen's grand jury over the falsification of the arrest warrant and complaint that led to Zimmerman being charged with second-degree murder. Now, what does this mean? A citizen's grand jury has no legal standing. There's nothing they can do. They can't go to a court of law and hold Angela Corey responsible. But it is interesting that this case became so bad, became so built up because of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, that the citizens in Florida, a bunch of citizens in Florida, decided to punch back. They convened a citizen's grand jury and found Angela Corey, got her indicted for intentionally withholding photographic evidence of the injuries to George Zimmerman's head. If you remember, they didn't show any of that, and they signed off on a warrant anyway. That photographic evidence enough. It's plenty to create reasonable doubt. So we've got that. She did that so she could get herself reelected by the black population in Florida. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's how these politicians work. And, of course, you know, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, they're the ones that demanded Zimmerman be charged. And Angela Corey said, okay, Jesse, Al, you get me the votes and I'll go ahead and charge him. And this is after the local police and everybody else had declined to arrest him. That's how things get screwed up. But what I'd like to see is citizens' grand juries get empowered. Every citizen in the United States, believe it or not, folks, has the right to talk to a grand jury and present evidence. And every Commonwealth's attorney, every state attorney will tell you that you don't. But that's a lie. What they will do is they will keep you from going and talking to the grand jury or the grand jury foreman, illegally, I might add. And when you have a Democrat attorney general like we do in Kentucky and Jack Conway, he won't hold the Commonwealth's attorney or anybody else responsible for illegal acts. But I found that out firsthand because I tried to go to the grand jury in the Jim King case and was trying to go ahead and have him indicted. Got the evidence and all kinds of federal charges and everything else. Every bit of it got swept under the rug by Commonwealth attorney and good friend of Jim King, Dave Stengel, and Jack Conway allowed it. None would let me talk to the grand jury that was impaneled. And I had that right as a citizen to bring those charges and let the grand jury make up its mind. So I like the fact that this citizen's grand jury convened and they found Angela Corey guilty, as they should have. This lady has been nothing but an embarrassment to the state of Florida and to any law-abiding citizen anywhere in this country. That's the truth of it. I mean, even legal expert Alan Dershowitz, you may remember his name. You know, he's a Harvard Law professor now. But he even condemned her for falsely signing an arrest affidavit under oath. She intentionally omitted evidence so she could charge him with second-degree murder because of political pressure. Now, I ask you, Alan Dershowitz, this guy knows what he's talking about, and a Harvard Law professor today to boot. Now, you know, what more do we need to begin the process of holding her accountable in the public eye in the legal system itself? But we're not going to get there. That's interesting to me. You know, we even have Larry Klayman, who is a former U.S. Justice Department prosecutor and a Florida lawyer since 1977. He was actually the citizen's prosecutor, if you will, who presided over the citizen's grand jury. And, you know, he went on to say that the Supreme Court has confirmed that the grand jury belongs to the American people, not the three branches of government. You can go to 504 U.S. 36, 48 in 1992, and they were quoting from United States v. R. Enterprises, Inc. So the Florida people have indicted Angela Corey, the Florida state attorney who lied under oath, Lied under oath. Oh, no. It didn't say that, did it? Yes. Perjury. And yet, nothing will be done in a regular court of law. So that is very interesting because here in Kentucky, we have a very familiar case of our own. It's a case of Mel Ignato, who murdered, brutally murdered, Brenda Sue Schaefer. He went to trial and got away with it. They didn't have the evidence. Lo and behold, the house where Brenda Sue Schaefer was murdered had some film that was put in a vent, in a heating air duct vent, that was later found a few years after that, was found, showing the brutal murder of Brenda Sue Schaefer by Mel Ignato. But when he went to trial, he was found not guilty. They had not proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt. But once the evidence was there, we had the tapes, guess what? Mel Ignato went back to court, not for murder. You can't try him for murder twice, not with the same murder. It's double jeopardy. What they tried him for was perjury. He lied under oath, and they nailed him for lying under oath during his own trial. A separate charge, a felony conviction, and he spent most of the remainder of his years in jail. Rightfully so. But that's what we get into. So I'd like to see a little bit more with these citizen grand juries, if you will, because I think these are interesting for the fact that the Supreme Court has basically said it's our job, the people's grand jury. It's not the states. It's not the federal government. We have the right to impanel the grand jury and hold them accountable. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about Texas. A lot of stuff going on there. Rick Perry, we've got cameras catching a Watergate-style break-in that the mainstream media will not talk about. Go figure, right? We'll be right back. You listen to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Yes, folks, get over it. Welcome back to the Ed Sprinkster Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. By the way, if you guys want to call in, you can reach us at 858-683-1326 or area code 502-805-0334 in the Louisville area. And if you're one of those people that are in the queue right now, thank you very much. We always have a bunch of you. But please hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'll know that you want to be heard on air. And speaking of being heard on air, welcome, Mr. Martin. How are you, sir?
Oh, hell. I'm just a big old sweaty mess. And if you hear background noise, it's because I'm driving a beat-up old pickup truck that had the back window blown out. So it exploded. I think there was stress on it, and he was like, I'm that guy right now, driving down the road with a beat-up old red Dodge pickup truck and no rear window.
So you're the 21st century Fred Sanford, huh?
Well, I think his window was in, but it's a work truck.
Well, this is
somebody,
true.
Somebody accidentally bumped it with some freight, and boom, there it went. So, I've got to pick some stuff up for the shop, so I'm driving a pickup with no rear window, so...
There we go.
That's just to answer your question, because at some point you're going to go, I'm getting a lot of background noise. So you're damn right you are.
All right. Well, now we know in advance, because I'm actually not hearing any right now, which is kind of surprising, because usually we do when we have that kind of stuff going on. We were going through the show talking about so many things, but we're switching gears right now, Ed. I don't know if you saw the story. Governor Rick Perry, he's the longest-serving governor in Texas history, folks. Of course, we all know about Rick Perry's failed run for the GOP to be the GOP presidential candidate in 2010. I'm sorry, 2012. When we look at this, Rick Perry made an announcement today that he will not seek the governorship for another term. But he would not specifically rule out another presidential run. So I don't know exactly what that means. Of course, we all know Rick Perry. You know, he had three things that he decided he was going to cut from the government, or three departments when he was running for president, and he couldn't remember the third one. I find it hard to believe that a guy could be governor of a state for 16 years and can't remember three things. But hey, that's just me, Ed. What do you think about this now? So do you think he's setting up for a presidential run?
I think he's got it on his radar. He ran once, but. You know, I kind of hope he doesn't, because, I respect the guy that, they have their ideals, and they got their ideas, and they want to run for president, but some of the stuff he's doing right now, and, I think he's just setting himself up to absolutely get slammed, a la the Mitt Romney 47% gap. I think he's, it's like, look, if you're going to run for president, just like pretty much unless you're in a, an ultra-conservative district somewhere, even for Congress and stuff. And you kind of got to moderate a little bit. He's actually becoming more polarized as time goes on. And it's like, hey, well, the polarization didn't work the first time, so now you're going for it even harder. I don't know.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. Because just to be fair here, I kid a lot about Rick Perry and all his gaffes. But just a couple of weeks before he made his announcement that he was going to run for president back in 2012, Rick Perry did have back surgery. He went on some major back surgery, and of course he was on painkillers and all this other medicine at the time he was running for president. I'm willing to meet him halfway on the gas. However, you just pointed out the obvious. That may have been a bad time for him to run because he was under the influence of things like that, not of his own accord. However, the fact that he is going so far to the single-minded tunnel vision of the extreme far Christian conservative right cannot bode well for him for a presidential race, can it?
No, I don't think so. I think there was a time and a place for that, but right now, I think people, especially the younger voters, when you start looking at the changing demographics, I think some of these Republicans think it's 1980. They're playing that card. It's like, okay, stop and think about it for a second. In some states, Latinos will become the number one they become the number one ethnicity in the local and state populations. Women you know, they get sick. And I think after a while, as part of the live and let live, I think you may be opposed to abortion, but, you know, you don't criminalize it on that, you know. Because, you know, I always worry, you know, I fear for the lives of the teenage boys of this world.
Well,
at some point, these guys are going to push it so far that masturbation is murder. <You know?
laughs> Well, you're probably right.
I am anti-abortion. I don't mean to make light of that, but it's they're pushing so hard, and then of course they're focusing on things like that when most people, like I say, if they had spare time, if they had spare cash, they'd go for that, but. Like I say, it'd be the 80s or something with Reagan, but you know, right now people are just trying to get by, and you know, when a presidential candidate, you know, his all the publicity he's getting has to do with abortion rights. I really think there's a lot of people out there seeing abortion rights. It's like, okay, you know what? Maybe next year, but right now, hey, dude, I'm about to lose my house, you know. Me and my wife are both working 29.5 hours a week because our employer won't give us, you know, they conduct insurance that way. I think there's a lot more problems, and I think it's careless of them to, you know, focus on that problem or that issue when people are having much more serious problems going on.
And I'm inclined to agree with you. You know, it's really interesting when we look at the big picture here. And everything that's actually going on, I'm puzzled. I'm totally puzzled by the whole deal. We're already doing all of this speculation for the next presidential race, but we're continuing. I mean, it's like the Republicans haven't learned anything over the last 8 years. They're continuing throwing up these hacks, these single-minded Christian conservative hacks, if you will. And once again, I think it's proving the obvious that the Republicans are either scared to lead or don't want to lead. It's a lot easier to follow somebody and scream about everything they're doing wrong than it is to actually stand up and take responsibility for trying to get things right. Give Rick Perry credit for Texas, though, because Texas is one of the best economies in the nation as far as the states are concerned. They've got a lot of good things going on there. And his stand on abortion and stuff was pretty interesting over the last couple of weeks. But Rick Perry has been able to take things head on and survive it. And if he was to run again, nobody would beat him, you know, which is all the more reason I'm trying to wonder why he has decided to opt out now, unless he has bigger plans and a bigger agenda. Because he's not, you know, he's just now hitting 60. So it's not like he's an old guy, you know, looking to retire. You know what I mean? So there's something here, and my bet is it's going to have to do with him trying to do a presidential race in the next one, and I don't think that would be good for him. I don't think it would be good for the people, but that's just me. But it is interesting, though, because we're talking about Texas and Governor Rick Perry. Did you see the story on the Dallas law firm that was broken into over the weekend?
I did not. Well, I have to apologize. It's just like I texted you. I'm so busy today, I didn't have time to do anything. So I'm coming into this cold.
Well, you always come in blind as far as the topics are concerned anyway, but now this is interesting. A Dallas, Texas law firm who's representing a high-profile State Department whistleblower by the name of Aurelia Nissen. She is a former investigator at the State Department Office of the Inspector General. Recently, she became a whistleblower and started bringing up charges of all kinds of allegations against the Office of the IG, the OIG, and all of its contractors, everything from illicit drug use, soliciting sexual favors from minors, prostitutes, sexual harassment, you know, all the typical whistleblower stuff and you know, all the personal stuff that goes along with it. Well, that law firm was broken into over the weekend. Now, they're in a pretty exclusive building, if you will. There was all kinds of offices in that building that were unlocked, had all kinds of valuable equipment, computers, you name it. No office was touched except for this one Dallas law firm. The firm Shulman and Mathias, who represents Aurelia, was the only one broken into. They broke into a file cabinet to go through files. They were looking for something specific. They stole three computers from the office, but they left valuable coins and all kinds of other stuff that had major street value, major value, in the office. They specifically wanted those three computers and a rifle through the files. Network mainstream news, Ed, once again, is not making this a story. I mean, what they did is the equivalent or worse of what happened at Watergate during Richard Nixon's era. And we all saw how that turned out. This is clearly a break-in by the government to protect somebody. She wasn't going with the minor people. She was going after the major players at the OIG. What is going on? Why? What is it about mainstream? I mean, here is a classic example. They've even got security camera footage of the burglars entering and leaving the offices, and mainstream media is like, eh, no big deal.
Well,
I don't get it.
Do you ever wonder that post-NSA snooping, post-CIA and FBI, or I think it's FBI, boosting phone records and stuff from the media, you ever wonder if there's something there and maybe mainstream's thinking about running with it and somebody from a department maybe gives them a buzz and says, hey, these emails, they could cost you a fortune in a divorce trial, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you kill it, boy?
Well, you know, it really is very, very interesting because, you know, we've got this whole thing here. There's no doubt it's very, very suspicious, very crazy, very strange. I mean, you know, this is somebody who could have went into every office in that whole building and nobody would have known the difference. Half of those offices were unlocked. They never even tried to open the door. Security camera footage, these guys specifically, guy and a girl, by the way, specifically went to this office, took the three computers that were in it, broke open a locked file box, went through the files, and left. They didn't want anything else. They weren't there for money. They weren't your typical crooks who are gangbangers or druggies or anybody looking for money. They wanted to get everything they could and stop the information that this particular person really had. I think
realistically that, you know, any law firm that's involved in something controversial like that, there's going to be off-site storage and stuff. So it's probably been duplicated. You know, for what it's worth, I don't think they probably didn't kill the case, but probably more to send a message. It's like, look, you know, we know where you're at. We're not there. Because, I simply can't imagine somebody going up against an OAG or anybody for that matter and only having one set of files. So I think it's probably more to send a message. It's just like, hey, look at what length we'll go to.
Well, I'm totally with you. I mean, I'm totally with you. It was obviously a message. I mean, there's not one thing that I do. All the investigative reports and everything else that I do, all the investigations that I do, all the evidence and stuff like that, you know, I keep this stuff in three or four different spots, okay? And there's other people involved. So I always make sure that I've always got copies of what's going on. If anybody was coming to my office today and steal my computer and my equipment, big deal. What are they going to get? What I already have hard copies of placed somewhere strategic, or what I've got saved on another hard drive or flash drive somewhere else that's not in this, you know, that's not in my office. So, you know, anybody with any lick of sense knows to have backup copies. But it's seriously criminal to me. I know you can't go after the mainstream media and charge them with criminality for not covering a story. But it should be criminal, at least viewed criminally from the American people's perspective, that the mainstream media has decided that they're going to ignore something as serious as this with Watergate implications. You couple that with everything else that's going on. You know, we have another story that came out on Friday, Ed. You know, it came out of Los Angeles, out of Los Angeles Times. There was a Mexican police chief who was killed with a rifle that was lost in the ATF gun tracking program.
Yep.
So we've got yet another firearm linked to the ATF gun tracking program They killed a police officer. This one was a Mexican police officer, so the U.S. ain't going to care one way or the other. But we've got these serious situations going on. You couple that with everything else going on that the Obama administration has failed on, and we'll get into some Obamacare in a second. How in the hell does mainstream media reporters sleep at night? I really don't get it. Nobody.
You stop and think of how much. And granted, it was kind of funny, but you know the story about Cheney shooting his friend in the face on a hunting trip. Boom.
Right.
Well, how much press that got? It's like, okay, it's an accidental shooting. You know, an old man had his finger on the trigger. He shouldn't have. Poor safety habits. But yeah, we got all these guns, and you know they keep turning up, killing people. That's just like a double whammy. It's like, okay, well, this is one of the ATF guns. We lost it. We don't know where it was. You know, and
right.
then at the end of the day, now you can say, well, found it. You know, but yet, like I say, the media doesn't pick it up. And I usually don't say it's criminal. You've dealt with the media. I've dealt with the media. To me, it's just lazy. I mean, they've got an agenda to push. They got, you know, they have over the years, I think the media is guilty of dumbing down their own audience. So you don't want to get into the Watergate-type things because that requires drilling down. You know, and it might get in for all anybody knows. But they just go for the easy one, maybe two-part stories, hit and run, puppy in a pipe somewhere, you know, picture of a house on fire, and then they move on. I just think it's the media has just gotten to that point that they're almost as just entertainment. They're gonna put some colorful pictures in the paper or put some you know some high drama looking footage on TV, and then they're gonna move on. This break in requires it's gonna require some work.
Well, and that's why people like us exist, because you know, I mean, this radio show gets better numbers than any Nielsen radio show in Louisville, Kentucky. We do. Our numbers are higher. The Nielsen, they can do all the Nielsens they want. We can prove we're better. This is why our websites like LouisvillePolitics.com and other alternative media like ours exist. We get thousands and thousands of people who are looking for real news reports. That's why mainstream media, the print edition, is almost non-existent anymore. Their online editions, they can't get people to sign up and subscribe. They have to give it away for free because people are getting sick and tired of this watered-down stuff. But this is very disturbing because this is continuing the trend that we've gotten used to over the last few years, and we're not quite where we need to be yet. I would guess that at least half the people get their news from online media sources such as this show or LouisvillePolitics.com. I would suggest that. And the evidence, I believe, is clearly starting to back that. That number is just going to grow. I mean, half the advertising revenue today, you know, advertisers are looking to invest their advertising revenue into online businesses. And by the way, folks, for you small businesses out there, any business actually, if you're listening to this show, you can write us at myviewmatters@aol.com. or call me at 502-742-8519, and I promise you we can advertise to more people with less money than what you're spending with mainstream media. But, you know, getting into all of this, we know that the mainstream media is on the way down, but why is it that the American people who are getting so much knowledge these days and are getting more informed than ever thanks to the variety of sources like us that are out there, why is it that they're not taking to the streets and saying, stop? We saw what happened in Egypt. Morsi was basically taken out. Why are we not taking to the streets? I'm not telling everybody to take an armed revolution. I'm not telling anybody to shoot their brother or shoot anybody else. But why don't we have thousands or millions of people in peaceful protest out on our streets demanding accountability from our president? We're sitting here applauding the Egyptians, but we're not following through here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is we're divided. You know, the two-party system, the media, all that, they've done a good job at dividing people. So, you know, as far as it goes, if one or the other sides of the equation get out and do it, it's going to be blown off as partisan. But I think the other end is, you know, we still got it pretty good in America. Watching the Egyptian, you know, the Egyptian riots, the protests that they're having, there's complaints. It's like, hey, the power, they're having rolling blackouts, you know, they're in many cases they're hungry, you know, they're tired of being directly intimidated. So I think there's a, you know, we just simply, you know, as Americans, we're still preoccupied, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, our quality of life is high enough that people can fixate on, you know, the UK football recruiting class or something, as opposed to, you know, the fact that the NSA is watching you comment on Facebook about the UK football recruiting class. I just think our quality of life and what we've gotten used to, you know, a life spent trying to pay the bills, but also our lifestyle is we've engineered it to where it's full of distractions, and we just, you know, just, that's just a habit we're not ready to break.
Well, and I understand that, but, you know, we're still sitting here fighting over stupid stuff like abortion, you know, and things like that we have no control over whatsoever, you know, instead of dealing with the real issues, and that's this president and others, you know, destroying this country. And I tell you, and the reason I even talk about all this is because there's some fascinating information out there that was just released, July the 4th, actually. If you go to Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com, you can see this story yourself. But there is a growing number of Americans filing for a concealed carry permit. They want to carry firearms in public. They want to carry firearms under their clothes. Law enforcement is starting to get a little bit antsy. And, you know, quite frankly, they should, because law enforcement is half the reason people want to carry their guns, because law enforcement is either not there as quickly as they should be, or they're the ones who are disobeying the law and causing the problems. But when we look at the application for concealed carry permits, it's fascinating, because a dozen states that were surveyed for this Wall Street Journal thing, this article, that included Texas, Utah, Wisconsin. You know, Texas is a big gun state anyway, but Texas even had an 18% increase compared with 2012. You know, this is really, really huge. I guess I'm trying to figure out exactly why everybody's so worried about this, but we have got a ton of people getting guns. Since July 1st of last year, Florida has granted more than 173,000 new concealed carry permits. That's 17% up from the year before, twice as many as they had 5 years ago. You look at the George Zimmerman and the Trayvon Martin shooting, that's in Florida. And Florida has 173,000 new concealed carry permits that were just issued, and their number continues to rise. They've got over 1 million people with permits in the state of Florida alone. Ohio is going to double their last year's new permits. Last year's total was 65,000 new permits, and right now it looks like Ohio is going to issue 130,000 new permits this year, which is going to be roughly three times as many as they had in 2007. Oklahoma, Tennessee, Wyoming, Nebraska, all of these states have done this. Texas, Utah, Wisconsin, they had 537,000 new permits last year. You know, we look at this, Ed. This doesn't tell me that people are satisfied with the direction government is going. This tells me that people may be preparing for something worse. And, you know, I'm not going to play the devil's advocate and get into the armed revolution crap. As I've said before, I'd rather see peaceful protest than armed revolution. But it looks to me like a lot of people are getting prepared to defend themselves and defend their ideals and defend the American Constitution. What do you think?
I think there's an element to that. I think there's an element of truth to that. I also think there's, you know me, I'm going to sit here and try to figure out just how many elements there are to it and just how many factors. I think along the lines of an encroaching government and stuff, I think a lot of people are out there playing the use it or lose it thing. They're going to get that permit before it gets really, really difficult to get, before it, you know, requires a full proctal exam to get, and you know, sitting down with Dr. Phil before they give you one. I think people are rushing out to get them, not at all unlike ammo. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying, you know, if the rate things are headed, they're going to, you know, it's only a matter of time before some local or state government or the feds just say, okay, yeah, no more. If you got it, fine. But we're putting a kibosh on it. I think people want to get in ahead of the curve. They're, you know, they get grandfathered in. I know when it comes to buying a firearm, you whip out a concealed carry, boom. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have one yet, but
right.
I believe you plop your concealed carry down and they just make a quick little photocopy of it or something, and you can just, you know, swipe that credit card and walk out that door with that gun. I could be wrong about that, but.
Well, I think you are wrong.
My brother
was
telling me something like that. It's like, hey, you whip out the concealed carry, you're in the express lane, whether it's ammo or anything.
Well, you may be in the express lane, but you still have to follow the law. And anytime you buy a new weapon, you know, they do have to call in and everything else to verify everything. But, you know, I mean, I went through that when I bought mine, and every gun I've bought in the last few years, you know, when I go in to buy a gun, you know, you got to fill out the application or all the other stuff you got to do. But they do call in and verify, you know, your background check and all of that stuff. It only takes a few minutes now. I mean, it's almost instantaneous, but not quite. But even with a concealed carry permit, you still have to do that. So, you know, but you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people are trying to take advantage before that right is gone. As we know, the government has been trying to eliminate all the ammunition. You know, and by the way, I want to give a hat tip to Lotus Gun Works, if I can. As you know, we've talked about, ammunition has been hard to come by. And they got in a bunch of 9mm, and I was able to go out last week and stock up on quite a bit. So props to these
guys.
You didn't
call me?
Well, you know what? It was on your Facebook page.
You didn't call me?
It was on your Facebook page.
Come on, that's next behave. Come on, I've been at Walmart before and seen it, like, they come out with a stash of ammo. The cell phones come out. Dude, get here. There's a 3-box limit.
you know what? They posted. I didn't get a phone call, man. They actually posted it on Facebook, and that includes your page, sir. But they posted it on Facebook. I'm actually one of their friends.
Well, I'm going to have to be a Lotus fan because I don't think I'm a fan of theirs.
Well, I'm sure it showed up on your Facebook page because I shared it once it showed up on mine, and I know I'm on your Facebook page,
okay.
And you can see all my stuff.
Damn.
So it did show up. But that's how I found out. That's because I liked their page a few months ago. And now I found out.
As I say all the time, that's really neither here nor there with me because I don't own any guns and I don't have any ammo.
Oh, I know.
Just in
but
case
the beauty of it
with me.
Well, the beauty of it is the only reason I'm giving Lotus a free prop there. You know, I mean, they should pay to advertise here, but the only reason I'm giving them a free prop this time is because they earned it. Because, you know, you go to Walmart and everybody else, Walmart was getting in these federal 9mm ammo. They were charging you $25 for 20 rounds. That's a little over a dollar a round for 9mm ammo. And people were actually paying that. Lotus Gun Works got in regular ammo on its full metal jacket. It's not hollow point. But they got in the full metal jacket, 9mm ammo, and instead of jacking the price and screwing everybody, a 50-round box of ammo still cost you, I think it was $19.99 a box, which is about normal, for a 50-round box, is somewhere between $17 and $20. So they didn't try to rape anybody. They didn't try to do anything. They sold the ammo at the regular cost. They didn't pull a Walmart. And for that, they needed to be commended, and that's why I mentioned them on this show tonight when we're talking about guns and ammo. But I love the fact that we are looking at more concealed guns. People are going more for that. I tell you, I really am starting to look for the worst in America. And it's only because of this bumbling crap like we've got in Dallas, Texas. We're proving once again that this liberal media has their own bias and their own agenda. And I don't think we can be more clear than that. And speaking of bias and agenda, I've got to mention this story before we get off air, Ed. You know, Obamacare, that's one thing that we have talked about ad nauseum forever on this show, all the problems and everything else. Well, we now have a new problem. You can go to Forbes.com for this, folks. We don't make this stuff up. We actually go through a lot of sources to bring you relevant information, and Forbes is a trusted news source as well. Obamacare, if you don't qualify for Obamacare, don't worry about it. Just lie. Until 2015, the government is going to use the honor system. The government is going to use the honor system for Obamacare. They're not going to verify anything. Since they withdrew the employer mandate, and here's a real question here. Since they withdrew the employer mandate, according to the law, you are not eligible for Obamacare subsidies if your employer has offered you, of course, what the government considers affordable coverage. But since the employers no longer have to report on whether they've done any affordable coverage or not, how can the government verify whether you're eligible for subsidies or not? So there is no verification at all. They're going to use essentially the honor plan instead of verifying anybody. How much do you think the cost of our health care is going to cost then, Ed?
Well, I think they're just trying to, you know, yeah, I go back to something John Yarmuth, our Congress critter, said, is, you know, when people are talking about, you know, going in and defunding or doing, you know, or voting away Obamacare, which, you know, let's be realistic, probably not going to happen unless you get a supermajority and a Republican president, which is probably not going to happen. He said, you know, you can take something away from somebody. Do you have what it takes to take something away? So I think it, in one way, that gets people hooked on it, you know, at least to a form of vote buying. It's like, hey, you know, come and get it. And the ice cream man is hanging out. You know, it's kind of like getting free lunches at school when you really don't deserve free lunches at school or, you know, you don't qualify. So, hey, you become a fan. Yeah, you're getting a free ride. So I think in one respect is that. The other is I'm sitting here scratching my head thinking, what the hell are all those IRS agents for? I mean, we heard all these nightmare stories about the IRS beefing up to verify Obamacare and do this. It's like, okay, so now those guys are not going to be going into the companies that, you know, whatever, 50 or more employees that got the one-year stay of execution, I guess you could say. But they're not doing that, so what the hell are they doing? Not that I'm inviting them to get active. I mean, if they're all making bad Star Trek videos like they were, it's like that little scandal, I keep doing it. But, you know, stay the hell out of our business. But it does make you wonder. What was it, 15,000 IRS agents or something? They were hiring new, and okay, so you're taking the honor system. So what are these guys doing?
Well, you know, it is interesting because you would assume that the IRS, I mean, when you file a tax return, they should know your income, right? So typically, I mean, if you're going to lie to the government, you would assume that sometime after 2015, the IRS, of course, is going to come back and demand you pay back these subsidies and with interest and penalties and all the other stuff. But, you know, we have to look at the IRS. Their track record isn't all that great right now. They're too busy targeting different conservative groups and things like that, instead of doing their job, which is interpreting the tax code, which nobody can interpret anyway because it's so screwed up. And I tell you, I really have to mention this and give a prop to our good friend David Adams as well, because what this basically affects is, you know, if you qualify, you have to get verified, but you can't verify. So anybody that's going into these Obamacare insurance exchanges, you know, are going to be able to lie, cheat, and steal to get covered. When you're a state like Kentucky and Governor Beshear has illegally tried to promote his own Kentucky insurance exchange, and David Adams, of course, is the one leading the way to stop that, you know, it goes even beyond the federal, because if the states get this insurance exchange, they're going to get some federal dollars, but we also have state tax dollars involved here too. So if you're not required to verify for the feds, the state always follows the feds' rules, so you don't have to verify for the state either. So this fight that David Adams has been on, a lot of people haven't really been taken serious, you know, and I don't mean people like us. I mean, we're very involved, but there are some people out there who haven't been really taken this serious, and this is a good example of why you should, because it's not just going to be the federal money. It's going to be the state money as well. We're out of time, my friend. Any final thoughts on such a short session?
Oh, in a short session, you know, I just, as always, I say stay cynical. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're looking at. let me tell you, when I hear something like that, you know, try not, and keep your perspective, look at things long term. Yeah, they're talking about the exemption. Yeah, they're talking about the honor system. But don't forget, a couple, you know, a year or so ago, we were talking about, you know, 15,000 IRS agents. You know, connect the dots if you can, and if you can't, ask why. Why can't we connect the dots? What the hell's going on here? And once you do that, you know, who knows what scenarios you come up with. Like I said, you come up with that, you tell that story, and I'm just thinking, you know, you got somebody who's going to go in, they're going to sit down with their counselor person or whatever, and they're going to look at it and say, well, you know, if you make under X dollars and have this many dependents, you qualify for free health care. Is that you? You know, leading question. Why? Yes, I heard the word free health care. Yeah, that's me. That's good. And I say, you're a might as well be handing out $50 bills or something on voting day, because, you know, election day, because that's what that is. I mean, it does. It's Obama phones. It's anything like that. You're lowering the threshold and give people free stuff, you know, in the name of Obamacare, in the name of the Democratic Party, or something like that. And I think that's what it is. I think they're just going to lower the threshold, get some voters, get this thing dug in real good with a lot of new doting fans, and it's going to be impossible to dislodge.
Well, I think you're right, but the problem is we have become a society that's divided on moral issues. You know, for better or for worse, we've gotten away from our moral base that we've had before in the past. You know, and I'm not trying to sound like the ultra-right-wing Christian conservative here, but, you know, do unto others as you would have people do unto you. It's not such a bad principle. You know what I mean? You know, respect your elders.
Yeah.
That's not such a bad thing to think about. All of those things are very important. But instead, we continue being lambasted, like the citizens' grand jury who just indicted Florida State Attorney Angela Corey for lying and getting George Zimmerman charged with second-degree murder based on a false arrest warrant complaint. You know, this was purely intentional. The evidence clearly showed to the local police that there was nothing to arrest Zimmerman for. And Angela Corey was told, you better find a reason to, because Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are here, and we've got to appease these guys. And by the way, we don't mind making the racial divide even deeper, because we're going to keep everybody in such chaos, worrying about whether you're black or you're white. We're going to be able to rob from Peter over here and pay Paul, and my buddy's going to get rich in the process. When we continue looking at these kind of things, and we're not really paying attention to these I's and these T's, now we've got over 2,100 people have been, I'm sorry, over 210 people have been killed because of the ATF guns, including right here at home. We've got all of these people now so in such fear they want to go out and get their concealed carry permit, so everybody wants to carry a gun. I'm one of them. I carry. I'm not going to lie about it. You know, we've got all of these different things going on in this country, and nobody is really paying attention. Nobody is really paying attention, and that's what really should disturb all of us greatly. Now we've got more lies with Obamacare. We've got more lies with the Fast and Furious. We've got all of these things out there. We've got, you know, attorneys making false claims for an end game that's going to affect each and every American, because no matter what happens with the George Zimmerman trial, America is going to explode in one way or another. You know, and I find that very disturbing. That's it for tonight. Ed, we'll see you tomorrow night, hopefully on time. You're busy.
I think we got so much stuff done today that I can't imagine this happening again tomorrow. But if it does, you know, I'm going to celebrate, and I'm going to write a thank you letter for all the politicians that helped me build this thing.
Thank Barack Obama for giving it to you. You know, I mean, that's important. You know, you're not really doing anything. You wouldn't be able to do anything if it wasn't for him. I'm just going to call him who he is. I'm going to call him my personal Allah. You know, so that's it for that. But, yeah, good talking to you, my friend. We'll see you tomorrow night. Folks, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock right here. Thank you, sir. Folks, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock right here, as usual. Good Lord only knows where we're going to go. Mayor Greg Fisher in Louisville, has been named in a whistleblower lawsuit that will affect a couple of major companies right here as well, here at home in Louisville, Kentucky, for me. So we will try to get into that story tomorrow night. It's a little complicated. There are some things, information that I have to withhold till a later time, you know, in the interest of being fair. But this is not going to work out well for Mayor Fisher and a whole host of other locals here that you're going to be surprised for. Hopefully we can get into that tomorrow night. We'll get into a lot more, I'm sure. See you tomorrow night at 7. Don't forget Wednesday night at 7. Thursday night at 7 with Rob Chapman filling in for our good friend Dale Gillespie, the truth, if you will. And Sunday nights with Kim Moman, same time, same channel. Take care. Have a great night. Good seeing you all. Bye.